Finding a place to live can be a real challenge in parts of our region. If you have lots of money to spend, well, the options open up, but most of us are not in that situation. So the house hunt for renters in particular can get very tricky with few choices and fairly high rents. Efforts are certainly underway to get more housing built, affordable housing, in many communities. In the city of Reading, that is the domain of the Community Revitalization and Development Corporation, David Rutledge is the president of the CRDC and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Hi, David.
You guys, good morning. Good to hear from you.
Good to have you. Can you give us a picture, an overall picture of the housing situation in Reading, the basic cost and vacancy rate and the important numbers there?
Well, the overall vacancy rate around Reading is the lowest I have ever seen it. It's, Alan and I have checked not only with our housing, but with property management and some realtors I know, and the number of housing units available is just at an all-time low. And we always estimate that if the vacancy rate is about 2%, that's basically turnover with people moving in and moving out, and it's almost down to that rate. And there's been very little in the way of new housing units built, and so it's our tenants are having a very difficult time finding anything particularly that's affordable. And our kind of signature project is Shadowbrook Apartments out on Hartnell Avenue, and that's 80 units of 3- and 4-bedroom apartments. And our waiting list is so long that it takes years for people most of the time to get through it. And that's why we drastically need some new housing units for families here in Reading.
And you mentioned that it had been a couple of years since new stuff got built. Was it just a recessionary holdup, or was there something else to it?
Well, it is an issue. There is one project here that the Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is involved with, a developer out of Southern California, and it is due to open up, but it's just not enough to fulfill the housing need. And we're hopeful that a project in downtown Reading that's going to have 50-some units of affordable housing in it is going to be constructed in the next 2 years, but it's still going to barely dent the need for housing units. And I am somewhat chagrined, to be honest, with what it costs to build things these days, between the cost of land, fees, and everything else involved. You just shake your head sometimes how much it costs to build something versus the incomes of people in this area have been real static. And even though the unemployment rate is down and things, they just haven't moved. So it's really hard for those working, particularly the hourly wage people, to find any place to live. And most of our tenants work in retail and service and other things. And it's been very tough for them to handle any increases. And
so they're employed. They're just not employed at a really high wage level, and so they're kind of stuck while the cost of the apartments goes up, but their pay doesn't necessarily.
Yeah, the pay hasn't gone up much, and so that's one big issue we see people facing. And quite frankly, I have people walking into the office every once in a while going, "What's going on?" And it's been very tough to look these people in the eye and say, you know, this is a situation, but we're attempting to get more things built.
Now, how often does the CRDC build something, and when was the last time you opened up the doors at a new unit?
Well, the last units we took over, we took over two adjacent duplexes, actually not very far from our office, but we had to rehab them and fix them up, and that took some time because the units were quite run down, but we got two of them fully rehabbed, and we're starting on the third. And that was last year. And I've got some plans that were just approved for a single-family house that we're going to build and sell to a first-time home buyer. And that's going to happen this year. And then I'm working on some plans to build 8 units that will be hopefully 3-bedroom units so we can put families in them. But right now trying to find the financing so we can do it, plus bring them in at the rents that families can afford, is the challenge. And I'm sit here running numbers all the time trying to figure out how to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. David Rutledge is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the president of the Community Revitalization and Development Corporation, building affordable housing in Redding. Not as fast as he'd like, as you can hear. Join us on the Exchange with thoughts on the housing situation in Redding, or perhaps in your town. You can compare some notes here. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So from what you were saying, it is not just about building new units. You do some rehab as well for existing spaces?
Well, if we can find them, but there is a tremendous competition every time something comes up, because a lot of people in the private market rate side understand that there's a tremendous demand for units. And so every time one of them comes up, we get in a bidding war. And it's just sometimes it leaves me shaking my head, because in the past, when I've checked on the amount of properties, existing properties for sale, there's been 50 plus, and now in the MLS, I looked in the multiple listing service, and it was down to about 21 total different properties for sale. Most of them were smaller, some of them, you know, single family rentals and things, and hardly anything available. And we'd really like to be able to find some things, you know, that could do, but there's hardly any 3- and 4-bedroom units available at all.
All right, so a really tight market just to be able to even buy the real estate you'd need to be able to get a project going. The newspaper in Medford, the Mail Tribune, reported recently that there's a fair amount of entry into the land purchase, the real estate purchase market of real estate investment trusts, the REITs, where you got a bunch of investors trying to make some money by watching land values go up. Has that become an issue in the Reading market too?
We haven't had too many real estate investment trusts, but it's my understanding that there have been some shopping around, and we've seen that extensively in the Sacramento area to the south of us, and even in Chico, which is the home of Chico State. And it's my understanding that the REITs have been doing that, and there have been some around here shopping, but I did have one broker that I know that told me that one entity that looked at potentially building determined that the cost was so high that they couldn't get a return on it, and so they were backing off. And it's just been a challenge for everybody to try to do something that match what people can afford to pay versus what it costs to build and operate is really tough. And we've been doing everything we can, because even the latest city study showed that what was really needed was more family units.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I know the senior population could probably use some housing, the drastic need we're seeing is a lot of single-parent head of households with children, and they're struggling to find a place to live at what they can afford, because our rents are normally anywhere from 300 and something to the mid-sixes, and sometimes up to 700 a month, and we try to keep them in there and get people in at paying no more than 30% of their income with an allowance for utilities. And trying to do that has just been incredibly difficult.
Is that still a HUD guideline, trying not to pay more than 30% of your income for your housing?
It's the HUD, and it's the studies that we've always done that if people pay too much more than that, they don't have hardly any disposable income left in a month to live on. And I had a gentleman in my office yesterday that showed me his pay stubs and showed me what he could afford to pay, and it was really tough to try to figure out how to get him into something, and because of what he was earning versus, you know, what he could afford to pay. When I worked that out for him, trying to have him left with some money to live on every month and pay his utilities and buy food and, you know, gas for his car and everything else, it's really hard to have people with enough money left to live on every month, because some of these people are paying 50 and 60% of what they earn on rents. And when you figure out what's left over at the end of the month, there's way too much many days left at the end of the month for the money they have. So it's a really tough deal.
They're really stretching it thin. David, what does it, first of all, how long has the Community Revitalization and Development Corporation been involved in this, and what does it mean that you're designated as a community housing development organization for the city of Reading?
Well, we've been, the corporation was formed in 1996, and I've been involved since March of 1998, and we've been, you know, attempting to build and buy and rehab ever since that time. And well, we built the biggest project we were able to build was the Shadowbrook Apartments out on Hartnell Avenue, which was 80 units, and we used the Low Income Housing Tax Credit program to do that. And then, and I'm going to sound a little bit critical of the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee, but their rules and regulations right now have they have a what's called the tie-breaking system, and it's a very, very competitive system.
You're competing with other communities?
Yeah, but, well, we Reading, unfortunately, and I'm trying to get this changed, but whether it will happen or not is something else. Reading right now is stuck in a tax credit region that includes all of the city of Sacramento and Sacramento County. So we have to go in and compete in the 9% program. And Sacramento has an integrated housing authority that covers both the city of Sacramento and Sacramento County. The income down there are higher. They have mitigation fees that are paid into Sacramento Housing and Redevelopment Agency. And then actually the market rate people pay a fee every year. That goes into them. And then they've got some other fees and they've got projects that are paying. They come up with millions of dollars a year. So when we come up with a project and try to go in and compete with that, we get blown out in the tiebreaker because the communities up here just don't have the cash on hand to compete in that game. So
to move Reading out of the Sacramento region, would that take an administrative rule, or does it have to be done legislatively?
It would take an administrative rule because the tax credit program in California is under the California State Treasurer. And so you need to get support of the treasurer to push the rule change through what's called the Tax Credit Allocation Committee, which is the treasurer's office basically runs the program. And then they chair the committee, and then the controller for California has a representative, and effectively the governor, through his Department of Finance, appoints the third, but they always follow the lead of the staff. And I had our state senator here, Gaines, and I got a hold of him and our assemblyman, and the city of Reading followed my request, and they have issued a letter to the state treasurer asking that Reading be moved into a different tax credit region where we could be more competitive, with the hope that we'd be able to be up against cities that were more in our financial position and income, so we didn't have to go and bump heads with Sacramento all the time.
So even if that change were to happen tomorrow, how long would it take to get projects set up, funded, that sort of thing, and get construction started?
It normally takes, the shortest period we've ever been through is 2 years, but it takes sometimes 3 and 4 years to finally take things. By the time you go through the whole process and get something built, it's a fairly long time period. So that's why, quite frankly, every single day I look around to see if there might be something available, but there's hardly ever a single thing available that's particularly vacant, so we can go in and rehab it and then move people in. So
it's on the sounds of it, I get the sense that the most that can get built at any one time is dozens of units, and it sounds like Reading could use potentially hundreds right now.
Well, it would really help if we could bring something in that had 100 units or more, just because of, and particularly of the unit size that we need, because it's really difficult for all these people. We've got so many younger people with younger children, and trying to get them and find them a place to live has been so difficult. And quite frankly, every day when I'm a little bit down, if I go out to Shadowbrook and go around, you see lots of younger families with children, and they're all playing together because it's a good, safe environment. And it's really a pleasure to see it, and it builds my spirits back up and refuels me to go back out there and try to get more of this done.
More places like Shadowbrook done. And are you feeling like the change might happen administratively that could help this along?
Well, I'm hoping it does, but excuse me, the landscaper just showed up and they're out there mowing things in front. But I'm hopeful, but there's never any guarantees, and I wanted to the support of our city and of the state senator and assemblyman to try to push this through, because they can put some of their weight behind it. And Senator Gaines has agreed to do that, and he had the director of the California Tax Credit Allocation Committee in his office for a meeting, and I was there with him. And the treasurer did send their voting representative in to listen, and he seemed, concerned, but trying to get something through. With this grant is always an issue, but he did tell me that there were some other counties north of the San Francisco Bay Area that had the same complaint, because they were forced to compete with Oakland and some other cities that had bigger and healthier housing authorities, and they just couldn't do it either. So okay. I was hopeful maybe we could all join together, and that way we'd at least have a chance.
Right, you'd be competing with each other instead of with the bigger cities. So
yeah.
Wow, that's a tough road to drive down. We're talking to David Rettler, the president of the Community Revitalization and Development Corporation, which builds affordable housing and certainly wants to build more in the city of Redding. David, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, I appreciate you hosting this program and giving us an opportunity to speak.